Then we talk the last item for today, which is the IBOR reform.
Good afternoon, everyone. In this session, we will discuss Agenda Paper 14, which presents the staff research findings regarding the potential effects of IBOR reform on financial reporting. In this paper, the staff recommend that this project is moved to the standard setting agenda, and the project prioritizes the accounting issues affecting financial reporting leading up to IBOR reform. The staff have engaged with security regulators, central banks, audit firms, and financial institutions. Based on these outreach activities, we identified two groups of accounting issues that will affect financial reporting at different times. The first group refers to issues affecting financial reporting leading up to IBOR reform, which include highly probable requirement and the prospective assessment in IFRS 9 and IAS 39, both issues related to hedge accounting. In paragraph 41 of the paper, we recommend that the project prioritizes these issues because they can lead to discontinuation of hedge accounting before IBOR reform is enacted, and thus would be more urgent than issues arising on transition. Potential amendments, if any, are expected to be narrow in scope. The second group of issues are those affecting financial reporting on transition to new risk-free rate, which include modification versus the recognition of financial instruments and other areas in IFRS. In paragraphs 8 to 19 of the paper, we note that there is an ongoing debate about how market participants will approach some key issues related to amendment of legacy positions and whether value transfers will occur as a result. This can vary significantly across jurisdictions, product types, and agreements. As a result, in paragraph 57, we recommend monitoring further developments in these areas so that, as more information become available, we'll be able to assess the potential implications of IBOR in these areas, IBOR reform in these areas. In paragraphs 58 to 59 of the paper, the staff clarified that both IFRS 9 and IAS 39 are contemplated in our analysis because some IFRS preparers have elected to apply hedge accounting according to IAS 39 instead of IFRS 9. Therefore, if the board decides to amend IFRS 9, this would require similar narrow scope amendments to IAS 39. Finally, based on our analysis in paragraphs 60 to 66, we recommend that the project is added to the standard setting program so that the board would be in a position to react rapidly in case it decides to take actions in form of narrow scope amendments to IFRS standards. With that, I would like to open it for discussion.
Amaru. Thank you, Hans. First, I would like to commend the staff for the paper. It's really very good. It's not an easy subject considering the potential effects. I think it's absolutely key for us as a board to look at this particular issue, especially with the potential effects in some particular standards. I really like the way you brought the background on this, bringing the discussion on G20 and why the world is trying to move towards a more responsive, I would say, interest rate, because of the problems some countries had in the recent past. So with that, and considering what you brought about the discussions, the preliminary discussion about with market participants, I do agree we should move this to the research phase, as you ask in question one. The standard setting, sorry. And I do agree with the second question as well, to prioritize the analysis of the accounting issues.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. I fully support staff's recommendation, and I agree with Amaro that this is a very difficult issue. We should be stand ready, and also we should be proactive as well. So we should be very flexible. So therefore, it's wise to move to standard setting project now. And I have just a question about the first issue, which is an issue affecting financial reporting leading to IBOR change. I do understand the concern. Are you going to make some exception like we have in paragraph 91 in IS 39, which is talking about a low change of kind of settlement? Is this what you have in your mind?
It is something which we will bring to you at the next level, is what exactly are the impacts stuck. All we are asking for today, these are possible areas.
Right.
And we are recommending that we take it to the standard setting agenda for the board to consider. The complexity of this is that the previous one, I think you're talking about novation, right, Tuck? Yeah, I don't remember the paragraph number, my apologies. The novation was, in my mind at least, a lot simpler. It just came out of a regulatory change.
Yeah.
This is a lot more complex because certain jurisdictions, it is a law change.
Yeah.
So, for example, in Europe, it is a change being brought about due to European law regarding what is an allowable benchmark. But in other jurisdictions, it's not a legal change. Mm. It is based on markets and regulatory recommendations. So we need to look at the forward-looking impact on hedge accounting for this. And the two areas we have brought it is highly probable and the prospective assessment.
Yeah.
Now, the hedge accounting implications for this is what we will plan to bring to you next if the board agrees with the session, covering also, if any, what relief the board could consider. Because some of the relief out there in hedge accounting, the provisions work, the conditions are and, not or. Mm. So we have to consider not only highly probable and prospective, but the nuances of it as we go through. But a detailed analysis will be brought to you if you agree in the next session. And innovation is one of the things we are certainly looking at very closely.
Yeah, that's why I asked, because the paragraph 91A is a very specific situation. However, the IBO issue is a very wide-range issue. Mm. And if we are try to do some relief, then there might be the danger of abuse or whatever. So I think it's quite difficult. So we need to make a good research and prepare for the possible change.
Don't disagree at all, Tuck. That is the concern we have, and that's why we are cautious, because if we start relaxing some of these conditions, some of them are what I would call fundamental to the discipline around hedge accounting. So we need to be able to not only bring to you what the proposals are, but also what the implications are. Mm. As we say in the paper, the standards are quite clear. We know what the implications are today if nothing has changed. The only point I would make about that is that when these requirements were written, and I was there for 39 and IFRS 9 also, they did not envisage such a seismic change in markets. It is a massive change in IBOR. So that is why we think the board should consider it and see what are the implications. Now, just another point regarding the flexibility. I appreciate it, and thank you, Tuck. That's important. The situation we are facing, as you can tell from the paper, is that it's quite an evolving one, as Amaro also mentioned, because things are coming up, the deadlines are there. Already, for example, we refer to the ISDA report. The ISDA report, they have come up with a preliminary view after we posted on what could be one of the possible methodologies, and two or three other reports have come up. So we are monitoring the circumstances. So we will try and bring you as comprehensive a list as possible, but we would like to also beg your indulgence that something might come up later, which as the situation evolves and as Europe and other jurisdictions. So we will try and do that, but we will have to bring this in stages as we propose.
I agree with the recommendation to move this to standard setting, particularly the part that is needed to address the sort of unknown period, if you like, before we've got visibility in terms of what the contracts will end up looking like. I would agree with Tack's observation that it's sort of similar to novation in the sense that it's a consequence of a regulatory agreement, and I think we're trying to make sure that we don't have, for want of a better word, technical disruptions caused in financial reporting, particularly hedge accounting, because of a regulatory change. But I'd also agree with Kumar that I think this is much more complicated.
Yeah.
Because in the case of novation, I was just looking at the words we used, we said it was only possible to continue hedge accounting if you had to change the counterparty because of law or regulation, and perhaps even more importantly, the only changes that could be made to the document were basically a change in counterparty.
Exactly.
The complexity we've got to deal with here is potential changes in the actual cash flows, well, definitely changes in the cash flows, but also potential changes in the actual value of the financial instruments. So while we want to be helpful and accommodating, we're also going to have to be careful not to be too helpful and too accommodating, because it will really there could be changes in economics that actually should be captured. And so it's going to be very difficult. And so I think what the staff are planning to do, from what I understand, which I completely agree with, is to try and find a way to sort of safe harbour things while we've got this period where we really don't have complete visibility on what's going to end up. And then once we do start to have visibility as a second phase, to come along and say, OK, now we know what the cash flows look like. What are the consequences of that? And I think that's important, because people have got real decisions they have to make reporting today, and so we need to split and place those two.
Means putting it, how shall I put it, in more colloquial terms, we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater with all the discipline, because anything I start unravelling, Tuck, with hedge accounting, because as I was saying, these are and conditions. They have implications all through. So if I do highly probable, what am I changing? Just the expectation assessment or the measurement? So we need to be very careful in corralling this so that we don't give up something that is not required. The other thing also, as I was saying, indulgence, is that we also might get questions too about trying to fix things which are not arising from IBOR will come up for this change. And that also we need to filter through, because that's something which people would like to get, possibly. But as of now, the issues that we have seen is based on our discussions, and we have had quite a few discussions. And the timelines are quite tight, Doug.
Yeah.
And the second phase as well is not just going to be hedge accounting.
Yeah, it's going to be broader.
It's much more comprehensive.
It's much more comprehensive.
Probably
because
not even just IFRS 9, actually. But
it will be more, yeah.
The other thing I wanted to comment on, of course, is the fact that the staff are proposing we'd need to touch both IFRS 9 and IAS
39.
Because a banker kindly pointed out to me the other day that they were a bit surprised that I'd be willing to vote for that, so I should comment on that.
Mm.
And they reminded me that the board, and me probably in particular, was very vocal at the time that we made that decision that 39 existed, but it was a zombie that wasn't going to be maintained going forward. That was the old standard. We'd keep it for now because of macro, but the standard that was alive and would be the standard we would work with going forward would be IFRS 9. So it was with a very heavy heart that I do concede and agree with the staff that we do need to think about IFRS 9 and IAS 39, for the simple practical reason that just about everybody, I think, is still using IAS 39 hedge accounting, much as that makes me unhappy today. And so if we really want to help the market, I think we have to be realistic, even though it's not fantastic, and look at making amendments to both of the standards to really be responsive to what the market needs. With a heavy heart.
I'm not commenting on held grounds.
Mary.
One of the important messages I took out of this paper is that the change from IBOR rates to RFR rates is likely to involve, at least in some instances, some real change in economics of both markets and individual transactions. That's going to depend maybe a bit on how it's implemented nationally. And I think it's also whether the counterparties to a transaction try to use this opening, the imposed opening of transactions to try and renegotiate more broadly. It's almost what you were saying about if we touch this, people are going to bring up other IFRS 9 issues they want us to address. And I think we need to develop an overall message sooner rather than later about what we think is in bounds and out of bounds of things that we try to discuss. So, for example, I think it's not automatic that we would do standard setting to insulate people from all the accounting effects of this change. You know, that that if there are real economic impacts that are other than a result of trying to replace like with like, that those economic impacts should, you know, should be reflected in the financial statements and in the period in which they occur. But that, you know, I take it from this paper that the staff thinks that it would be appropriate in at least some circumstances to, you know, I think Sue was referring to, and keeping technical noise out, you know, out of the financial statements when people are being forced to convert from one to the other. And I think to me that's when you're seeking to and largely achieve replacing like with like. You know, you may not be able to get it exactly, but like with like. I do struggle to support at this point the staff recommendation to move this project to standard setting agenda now, just on the basis of what's in here. I'm not objecting to standard setting, but I don't feel like I know what standard setting we're being asked to approve being developed. And I, you know, Kumar, I take your point that this is a much bigger than novation, really seismic change for those who are impacted by it, but it still is a relatively targeted potential amendment project. It's not reconsideration of the basis of our hedge accounting model or anything else. So I don't think we should get too caught up in our formal, you know, the formal steps of our process and worry about voting to move it from this agenda to that agenda, as opposed to saying, on the basis of this analysis, I think the staff is right to say let's focus first on issues that come up in the run-up to the change. I kind of feel like I need first more an analysis of the app, you know, what are the issues, and kind of the thing that we see sometimes with the interpretation committee of step one, let's walk through what an analysis is of the application of the current standards to the fact pattern, so I can filter out which are the issues for which we think actual standard setting is needed. And I would be pleased rather than upset from a process perspective if the staff brought us that with recommended standard setting at the same time, even though this is, you know, even if it were still badged as a research project. I don't see that as a major hurdle on which we need a separate step. This is not such a big project that we need to consult with our advisory council or ASAF or anything else in terms of deciding that standard setting is necessary. And I kind of worry that if we emphasize the process side, people are like, oh, this is good, they're doing standard setting to insulate us from all the effects. And that's not what you're recommending, and I don't think that's what we'll be doing. I think we have to be targeted. So I agree with your focus on first assessing what the problems are that are emerging and how we think the standards apply unamended, and if we see that producing problems, what are the targeted amendments that we think are necessary for the assessment phase, and approaching it more this way rather than saying we know now that we have to do standard setting, because I don't know what the standard setting is that we need to do now.
Can I just comment on that? So having been on the receiving end of a number fairly nasty conversations with banks in various,
including me, yes,
in various private and not so private surroundings. I think it's important that while I agree with you that I don't think we should get too hung up on the labels that matter a lot to us, I think it is very important for our credibility and for the market's level of anxiety that they get if the board agrees, that they get a strong signal from us today that based on what we know now, we know that there's something we need to act on promptly, and we're going to try and do it as soon as we can, because they're already worried about what's going to happen, you know, when they get to the interim financials or whatever in 6 months' time. And so I think what the staff is really asking for us is a clear signal on that front, so that we're giving them the green light really to bring, even if it's in two bits, as you say, this is the problem and this is the standard setting we therefore recommend as two papers at the same time, that's something that's going to be at the board table live with true, you know, decision-making sooner rather than later to speed ahead with an exposure draft, because otherwise we're not going to be responsive to the market in the time they need.
I'm fine with all that, except this implicitly concludes that we need standard setting to face problems in that interim period. And having read the paper pretty carefully, I still don't have any picture of what the standard setting, not what the solution is, but what are the aspects on which we need standard setting. I understand what the problem areas are.
And that's the areas. We are not proposing that everywhere there's a problem, it needs standard setting, as you rightly said, Mary, especially with the second batch, which is very open.
Yeah.
That I fully appreciate. But with the first batch, the areas, and we have given you what are the consequences of the discontinuation of hedge accounting.
Right.
That I think we are very clear, this is what will happen and this is what we have heard. So if that is what the concern is, and I think I'm also pretty concerned about the optics of this when we go to the market and the signal we send. If we are more comfortable, we can break it up and say, just bring the first phase onto the standard setting and do the second later. Happy to do it that way.
I'm not talking about separating the run-up to IBOR from the consequences of actually implementing IBOR, because I think you have to deal, you may find that the issues are integrated or it makes sense to think about them all the way through the process. But I don't understand what standard setting you think we need to do to address problems in the assessment, the prospective assessment phase. I get some flavor of what the issues are, but I don't have enough to conclude that, yes, we need to do standard setting of this type or that type. I'm not averse to doing it. I just don't know what I'm signing up for.
Can we vote for the question one, whether we're moving it to the standard setting process?
13 in favor. And question two?
Prioritize
one. 13 in favor.
Okay. Question three, do we want it as soon as possible?
Yeah, just within half an hour. Will you like the solution?
Fine, possible. Extra. I'm always happy to say that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. No problem. It would be possible, but I have.